Hey, this is Jeff Garcia with Locked On Spurs, and what you're about to listen to is a fill-in episode. This fill-in episode was hosted by Casey Vieira, a San Antonio sports reporter. Basically, he filled in simply because I was at Barclays in New York City getting ready for the draft, and you know what I thought was going to be a big night. You know, the player was going to be at Barclays, you know, number 12, number 41, that they're going to be there. So while I was going to be busy, Casey took over for this episode just to host it, give some react and everything. So yeah, he is filling in for this episode, but I will be back next week as we look at the number 12 and number 41 pick, Primo and Weisskamp, and give out grades, get more in depth about Primo and Weisskamp, what they can bring to the team, and much, much more. So again, this is a co-hosted episode of Locked On Spurs. Enjoy.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, we waited months and months and months for this year's NBA draft, and Spurs fans, largely, for the most part, were pretty excited knowing that, hey, we got a little bit of a change into the guard here. The draft lottery is here. We're sitting at number 12, maybe a new kind of wave of San Antonio Spurs basketball coming in, and I don't think anyone could have predicted it the way that it could have finished last night for your San Antonio Spurs. That said, welcome to Locked On Spurs. This is not Jeff Garcia. No, my name's Casey Vieira, pinch hitting for Jeff. Might have heard me on the program a couple times over the past few weeks, months, year, I guess. He's actually getting a little bit of sleep right now. He was at the Barclays Center last night, but for the sake of him not driving himself crazier than he always gets, for the sake of him actually getting a little bit of rest for once, he said, Casey, take over the reins of the car. You take over the Locked On Spurs seat, the coveted hosting chair, hosting microphone, if you will, whatever you want to call it that, so I can get some sleep. So as we're recording this, Jeff's probably going to bed. But anyways, before we get into the fun, before we get into the analytics of last night, the highs and the lows, and I guess the overall mystery and intrigue of what was the 2021 San Antonio Spurs draft, got to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Okay, so last night, as I think a lot of Spurs fans were kind of accepting, as I mentioned off the top, is that, all right, here comes that new era of San Antonio Spurs basketball. This is the first step in really changing the wave of things and really kind of finding that new face to set the tone waiting there at number 12. Because after a long year, they've come to the realization, hey, this is what it is. So let's welcome it. Let's welcome in this new era. So a lot of anticipation, as we knew. We get through picks 1 through 11, and for the most part, most of the guys that Spurs fans waited for, or at least had mocked, if you will, were hoping to get, they were still there. I don't want to say everyone was still there, but just about everybody was still there, with the exception of like maybe like a Franz Wagner or something like that. They were pretty much in play. A lot of Spurs fans, the people with the Twitter GMs, if you will, the people that they were eyeing, they were still in play. So, all right, so we get to number 12, finally, and all the speculating comes to fruition. And what happens? At the 12th pick of the 2021 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Joshua Primo, shooting guard, out of Alabama. We waited all those months, all those mocks, everyone that you've seen, every scout, every insider, every expert, always with the knowledge. None of them, I can guarantee you, keep digging. If you have a whole lot of free time on your hands while listening to this, keep digging, trying to find that mock. None of them will have Joshua Primo going at number 12. I can almost guarantee you. So knowing this, the uncertainty, or I guess kind of the unexpected part, if you will, the unexpectation. What's the best way to phrase that? I don't know. You know what I'm trying to get at. Spurs fans, expectedly so, went into their own little state of Spurs mass Twitter confusion fandom. I don't know. You know how Spurs Twitter gets. They get in turbulent situations. This was one of those situations. And I think largely for the most part, not a knock on the kid, Primo. We'll talk about a little more what he brings to the table in a second. I think it was just a matter of the unknown of who this guy was, and especially with a lot of familiar names and faces and all those people that you saw linked in the mocks going to the Spurs, and they come out of left field with a guy in Joshua Primo, an 18-year-old swingman out of Alabama, that some of those capologists, draft experts, bloggers, whoever is picking it, those people, they had some of them going up in the early, Primo, that is, going in the early 30s. And expectedly so, Spurs fans reacted the way that they would expect. But what about Primo, though? So why is everyone all fired up? Why is everyone bothered by this? Maybe not as much him, Primo in particular, because it's kind of hard to knock an 18-year-old kid for just being good at his job. It's not his fault. The Spurs like what he does. Spurs like that he's good at his job. It's not his fault. It's just kind of the aspect of the organizational pressure that fans have really put out there, and certainly valid as well. The high expectations on Brian Wright to make this pick right. No pun intended. But now here we go. And here's where they are. Josh Primo's that first guy. So what does he bring to the table? 6'5 swingman. Long, lanky kid. I mean, who isn't lanky at 18 years old? 6'11 wingspan. That's encouraging. Shot 38% from three, over 40% from the field. Put up 8 points, 4 boards a game for the Tide last year. An NCAA tournament team was Alabama. But for the most part, this is a guy that's going to be in Austin. This is a project player. This is an 18-year-old, very green, and right now doesn't really do anything particularly better than anybody else at the spot. You don't know. And that's kind of like the general rule of thumb with taking a high schooler, what formerly used to be a high schooler, an 18-year-old out of the draft. Yeah, you see little odds and ends things here and there, but unless their name's LeBron James or Kevin Garnett coming out of high school, those 18-year-olds, you got a project on your hands. And that's what Primo is going to be. He's going to be exactly that. He's going to be a project player. Now, I think where a lot of people kind of get confused with this, where they throw their hands up and they're saying, man, RC, man, Brian Wright, what are you guys doing? They're saying all those things. I think it's a matter of a lot of the practicality aspects of the Primo pick don't necessarily fit with what the Spurs are looking to do. A lot of reasons to be skeptical. Lord knows they have an infinite number of guards on this roster right now. So that would tell you perhaps there might be an ensuing move coming after that, but that's a lot of the frustration. But I think another part of it too was everybody else who was left on the board. Kai Jones, a big guy, Texas Longhorn, a lot of Spurs, maybe it was the UT goggles that a lot of Spurs fans might have been wearing, but some wanted Kai Jones, a big guy. Alperen Şengün, a big guy. Usman Garuba, a big guy, who both ended up in Houston, by the way, in addition to Jalen Green. Rockets had a really good draft. It was just kind of fuel on top of the Spurs fandom fire frustration, if you will, last night. And there was just a lot of aspects of that pick that had it, focusing on who else was on the board as well, that's just making you wonder, like, what's next? Is Primo going to be a part of this team? Is Primo part of a bigger move? Is there an ensuing move? And expectedly so, like the Spurs do, they didn't do anything else. They took Primo. They had their first round pick. They took their second round pick, Joe Weiskamp, at 41, a little bit later on, a couple hours later. We'll touch on him in a moment. And that was it. It was largely uneventful going into probably the most important free agency that the Spurs have had in the past 25 years. Pretty much, with the exception of the summer of Kawhi. It's pretty much it, right? So now I guess we try to focus on the positives with this. And admittedly, when I was kind of mapping out this pod and figuring out, you know, putting my little mini rundown together with all this, I'm digging for the positives here. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure, because this is a team in a rebuild that's investing in an 18-year-old guy, very young, very raw, in a spot selection at number 12 in a lottery spot where you have to get that right. You have to get that right. You have to get at worst in that number 12 spot. You have to get a top six rotational guy right there. Not an all-star, but a top six rotational guy. And I was feeling a lot of those things that Spurs fans were feeling. But then I heard him talk. Then I saw a little bit of his Zoom press conference. He was not actually at the Barclays Center, and that was kind of a running joke too, was that he wasn't even in the building, wasn't in the green room, nothing. And he was still a lottery pick, but that's neither here nor there. But watching a lot of the mannerisms that he talked about, a lot of the things San Antonio Spurs basketball that he talked about, it was a lot of aspects of it that showed he was in the know of the way that things went. I'm going to play it a little bit for you in a second, but the kid's bright. The kid knows. The basketball IQ of what the San Antonio Spurs are, he was there. It clearly resonated in his workout. And he expanded upon that when asked about it. And you can tell, you hear for yourself. This is encouraging.
Going that high wasn't something that I don't know if I was ready for that. I didn't realize I was gonna be that high, but I'm glad it's with the Spurs. I mean, I've always wanted to be a Spur. I told my agent when I first got into this process, that's where I want to be, and it ended up working out that way, so. It's great. It was a great workout, but I don't think it was really about the workout per se. I think it was more about just being able to interact with the coaching staff, interact with all the support staff, everything like that. I think the workout went great, but it was more about the fit. So I got to meet just about everybody to pop.
And I like that. I like that. I like that he has that confidence. He has that IQ. He has that know. And I like that the fact that he acknowledges a very personable guy. And that's cool. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun to pair next to another very personable guy in Keldon Johnson. And honestly, that's, you know how San Antonio is when it comes to basketball. These guys are celebrities. They're the big show in town. And I'm sure an aspect of seeing that on the Spurs front, seeing a strong, charismatic guy has his head on right. I'm sure a large portion of that went into the selection as well. We'll see. Obviously, a little bit of a ways to go before the book is really done on Joshua Primo here. But at the end of the day, my big takeaway is this, is that at number 12, you're in a spot, as I said before, that you got to get it right. You have to get it right, especially when you're in the situation that the Spurs are in right now, where they're in a spot where a lot of fans were hoping they would not be, is that gray area. It's that gray area of not being too good, not being too bad, not being a legitimate postseason team, but not being bad enough to get a bottom five pick. And what does that leave you with? Well, that leaves you in that back end lottery, that 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 range of where it's really hard to improve your basketball team. It really is. When you're a team that's kind of in a transitional period, like the Spurs are, like they were last year, like they were the year before, when you're not good enough to take steps in the conference to be one of the last four teams standing, last eight teams standing, but you're not bad enough to get a top five pick, in which you know you'll be getting a really, really, really good basketball player at five, certainly a better one in all likelihood than you would at 12. Well, at that point, you really got to hit on some of these guys when you're in that, at least that ballpark at 12. You do. One, just from the pure standpoint of, you know, you got to get a draft pick, right? That's, of course, the given. But also from the standpoint of where the Spurs are at. Because in all likelihood, DeMar DeRozan probably gone. Not confirmed, but probably gone. Scratch that one off the board. So we know the rebuild is here. I don't like to call it a full-on tank because that has a negative connotation to it, and I don't think that word gets thrown around inside the front office in San Antonio. I don't think that gets thrown around, but the idea of a whole rebuild is here. It's on its way. And when you're drafting an 18-year-old kid, like the Spurs did last night, you're not committing just a couple years. You're committing at least for the duration of his contract, his first rookie contract, 4 years, and after that. Because at that point, when his contract expires, he's 22 years old. He's still going to be very green in the same, in very much in the same realm that he is. He might not have even had it figured out yet. Especially in San Antonio, where they don't, the rookies spend half the year in Austin anyways, which in all likelihood is going to be a home of his for a good portion of this next season coming up. You're afforded that luxury of having 18-year-olds that you can kind of let develop a little bit along the way. When you take them in the back end, when you take them in the 20s, 25s, second rounds, you can afford that. You can't afford that when you're in the lottery. You can't do that because that's a gamble. That's something that you can gamble with, an 18-year-old. You can gamble with that if it's not a top 12 pick, if there's not a lot of investment into it. There's a ton of investment. There's a ton of investment into Joshua Primo now at this point. And it makes it kind of shake your head for a few reasons, because one, you're thinking, well, like we were like just mentioned before, was that you don't know how it fits with the timeline, if you will, of all the other younger guys there. That's the one thing that's bothersome. But two, the other thing that's kind of bothersome too is that this is the spot that the Spurs are in right now. They don't have a transcendent player yet. I'm not going to say Duncan, Ginobili, Parker. Those guys are full-on transcendent, more so Duncan than Ginobili and Parker. They're all-stars. You can find all-stars. You're not going to find a transcendent player. That's a given. And the Spurs right now are very much in a state of flux. You don't need me to tell you that. They're very much in a state of flux. So they don't have that luxury right now of, to be very callous, of getting it wrong. That's really what it is. They don't have the luxury of getting it wrong. They have to get this right and see where it takes them from there at that point. Not saying that the potential of Joshua Primo is going to be the difference of the Spurs being stuck in the basement for the next 20 years. I'm not saying that. I'm saying more kind of from a principal standpoint.
Hey, celebrate the freedom of choice with Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? Hey, there's something for everyone. Whether it be coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and more, there is a flavor for everyone. If you cannot decide which flavor you like, get the mix box. You get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting around, they're healthy for you too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today. Get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty cool. Go to Built.com right now and get yourself 15% off your order. That's Built.com for 15% off.
Right now, there's a whole lot of unknowns with this San Antonio Spurs basketball team, and even with the Primo selection. But I will say this. You talk about the gray area. You talk about the idea of the unknown. But that unknown comes with the direction that the Spurs are heading. And they're heading for that rebuild. And I'm going to spin that positively for a second. You're saying, how do you call a rebuild? What do you call positive out of that? You know, what's positive out of losing? What's the real gain, Casey, if we don't have any all-stars right now to keep tanking and losing every single year? Well, I'm going to explain. The past 4 years, really honestly since Kawhi left. So yeah, we'll call it the past 3 years. The Spurs can't decide what direction they're going to take. Being in that gray area has not gotten them anywhere. It's just set back the timeline. It's put them in this window of mediocrity where they can't advance past where they are. They're stuck. And so now the first step to getting out of that is figuring out which way that we're going. And on the contrary to what we've seen the past 2 years, we're seeing a direction now. We're seeing that the tools are being brought in to shape this roster a little bit differently. Players that we knew for years here are on the way out. Perhaps. We're not sure if Patty's on the way out, but DeRozan's pretty much fair to say he's probably gone. Rudy Gay is gone. So just kind of to lead into my point here of where we're at, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know at this point. But the Spurs at least have a direction here. And that's something that's encouraging. It's just a matter of what they do with that sense of direction now. You know what I mean? It's like now they're at the party. Now it's a matter of what they make out of the party, what they get out of the party. And that's going to be a long party, probably, in all likelihood. Going to take a few years. I'm not going to lie about that one. One guy who will be at that party, though, we haven't touched on him yet, was the second round pick that the Spurs made last night. Joe Wyskamp, stretch forward, small forward, power forward, coming out of Iowa. And the big book on him is that he's a guy who can shoot. All Big Ten selection, second team last year, put up 15 and 6 a game, number 41 taken overall. But that 46% from three is solid. You'll take that. Not a lot of expectation put into what you get out of that number 41 pick, which is cool. And if they can get a productive rotational guy out of it, at least at some point, all right, you take it, right? You take it, especially with a skill set that's fitting the need of what the Spurs have, or do not have, I guess, of what the Spurs need. So at that point, 41, might as well try it, right? All right, so let's put a bow on draft night 2021 for your San Antonio Spurs and Mr. Joshua Primo at number 12 overall. The things we know is that he could have been there. In all likelihood, he would have been there had they moved backwards in the draft. in all likelihood, he would have been there had they moved backwards in the draft. And that probably would have been the smarter move. It probably would have been the smarter move to move backwards to get him to at least add some sort of capital there for the future, whatever little it may have been. But the reason I'm not getting on all the way on the we screwed this up bandwagon thing was because we just don't know yet. We just don't know. 18 years old is way too young to know in any facet of the basketball game. It just is. It just is. For better and for worse. It just is. For me, I'm looking at this and I am not grading the Primo pick based off of ability for possibly that 4 years we were talking about, because that's how long it's going to take. It's going to take time with this guy. And I can totally understand the counterpoint with that, was why you would want a Kai Jones here, because he's a big guy and the Spurs need a big guy too. We have a million and one guards. What's another? But at that point, it's going to be a different team in 4 years in all likelihood. And whether Primo's a part of it, whether Primo's not a part of it, whatever it may be, in the immediacy, we do know that he is a San Antonio Spur. And this is the way things are going to go. And this is the direction it's going to head for this team. But the big thing for me that I'm interested with the Primo thing, and I think a lot of the givens, like we were saying, we know, is that he's going to spend time in Austin. He is probably not going to play a ton. Those are the givens. My thing is, I just wonder what's next. What's the next step here? Because I can't imagine, I cannot imagine they would select another wing, another guard, two consecutive years. If you go back to last year with Vassell, two consecutive years, if you really want to stretch it, I guess Lonnie as well, but he's not as much of a 2-3 as the other two guys are. Like, what's the corresponding move here? Is there, of course, knowing the Spurs, there's probably not a corresponding move, but what's the corresponding move here? Could it be Lonnie on the move? Could it be Derek White on the move? Could it be DeJounte on the move? I don't know. But I've come on this program for months with Jeff, and I've said it before, is that at some point there's going to have to be a corresponding move, because all those guards, that infinite number that they put in the backcourt, it's going to have to get split up for roster stability or roster balance, I should say, probably the better way to phrase it at some point. And this pick only adds to that. So what is that corresponding move going to be? Rumor mill has it John Collins is out, as in out on the Spurs' plans. But reports came out last night that says that that the Hawks were going to do their best to make sure he's back in Atlanta. So what's next? Is this the same team? Is this the same group of guys? I mean, do they just continue to ride it out and stick with the way it is? And then Pop and company, they're thinking, well, Primo's probably not going to play a whole lot next year anyway, so let's just keep the main guys intact. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't think a lot of people have the answer. I think that's why we're having these conversations, right? I mean, I think that's how we got to this point. No one knows what's going on. No one. You just hope that Spurs don't fall in that no one category, but I don't know. So now this is the portion of the show where I think Jeff says something like, he's done talking, we want to hear from you. That's an awful Jeff Garcia impersonation, but the sentiment remaining the same here. I'm done talking, and we want to hear from you. Be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're currently listening to me talking, wherever it says subscribe, Spotify, Apple, all those, click the one that says subscribe and follow that one, not only for Locked On Spurs, but all the Locked On shows. There are many, There are many, so be sure to check them out. Be sure to follow Jeff Garcia at Jeff G Spurs Zone. He's got a lot of good stuff coming up there today. Like I mentioned, at the draft last night, probably sleeping at this point. I would hope he'd be sleeping. But he's got a lot of good stuff up there today. Check him out. Follow me on Twitter while we're at it, at Casey_Vieira. Check out my YouTube show as well, Vieira's in SA for the San Antonio crowd. And with that said, I think this is the other thing that Jeff needs, that Jeff puts in here too. Jeff, sorry, here's the thing. I have to, for the sake of continuity, it's not going to sound as good as you when you do it, but for the sake of continuity for the listeners, that's going to put a lock on this edition of Locked On Spurs. I think that's right? I got to go back. Anyways, thanks for listening.